Well, good morning. It is so good to see everybody on this seventh Sunday after Epiphany, especially since we missed last week because of the weather. And it's so good to see all of you back today. And we're so glad that you're with us in worship. A little bit later on, we're going to be continuing our series. If you remember from a couple weeks ago, I did part one of dealing with the challenges of discouragement. And today I'm going to be talking a little bit more specifically about how we can deal with that. And so that'll be later on. But we want to welcome those that may be listening online later on this week. And so as we begin, let's stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria. Let's join together for our call to worship found in the bulletin. Fortunate are those who trust in the Lord. They will be like trees planted by the waters. So come, let us place our trust in God. Well, let's join together. If you'd like to turn in your hymn book, it's hymn number 73. Or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. This is my Father's world. Three verses.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings. The music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought. Rocks and trees of skies and sea, His hand of wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declares their Maker praise. This is my Father's world, He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear Him pass. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and heaven and earth be one.
When we were singing that, I was thinking about something I told the Bible study this morning, is one of the ways Jesus addresses our anxieties about things in life is by telling us about the goodness of our God. And how wonderful God is. And that's our Heavenly Father that we just sung about. Well, let's join together there and for our opening prayer in the bulletin. Almighty God, You do not leave us without guidance. You show us the path to life and fruitfulness. Help us this day as we gather again to delight in Your presence and wisdom. May Your Holy Spirit fill us that we might live in the fullness of your blessing this week. Amen. And you may be seated. We're going to sing an old one there this morning, hymn 507, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. There's three verses there.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee, let the water and the blood from thy wounded side flow, be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make us pure, good my tears for could my zeal no longer go? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. While I draw this final breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Well, I think we have a couple kids this morning. If they want to make their way down, they can this morning.
I knew we were going to be a smaller group because Miss Rhea told the kids 2 weeks ago that you won't be going downstairs this morning because the fellowship house is kind of a mess and dirty. No tables or chairs out there. So. I know. It's always fun to go down there during the time of the day. Yes. She always has good things for you to do. Yeah. So, the last time, I started talking about discouragement. Do you know what that is? You were here, weren't you? You remember that. Anybody know, what does it mean to be discouraged? Kind of get down.
Like, tired?
Well, it can be a part of it. That's one thing that I talked about a little bit with the adults last Sunday. We sometimes feel worn out, tired, and we need some rest. You know, when you get discouraged, sometimes when you're discouraged, you just want to stay in bed, stay under the covers, and, you know, I don't want to deal with the life or what I have to do today or anything. Yeah, but we can sometimes, I remember we were talking about it, some of the kids said something about sometimes we can get sad during those times when we're discouraged. You know, we don't feel like keeping on going. Our motivation is kind of gone. You know, I don't really want to do it. You know, what do I, you know. So, because discouragement comes in a lot of different ways. Well, today, we're going to talk a little bit more about discouragement. And one of the things that you read up there, it says, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious. And one of the things that helps us when we're discouraged about school, about life, or whatever it may be, is we've got to remember that God is greater than how we feel. God is greater than how we feel. And you know what we have to do? We got to remind ourselves about that. Because sometimes when we're facing whatever it is, and it's kind of overwhelming, and we're feeling a little sad, and maybe down in the dumps, and discouraged, and we don't feel like keeping on going, you know, is that we got to remember that not only is God with us, but God is in us. And that means God's great power is in us. But we have to remind ourselves of that and say, you know what? I might be down in the dumps a little bit this morning, but I can get up and face this day again, this new day, and God is with me, and God is greater than whatever I'm facing, and God's going to help me get through that day. And that's a powerful thing to remember. And we have to remind ourselves that. You know, maybe during the day at school, the teacher pulls out and says, we're going to have a pop quiz over this, and we're like, oh no, look like, you know, I wasn't expecting that. You know, we've got to remind ourselves, God's with me, and I just got to do my best. So I got to try my best. And that's all, you know, that's all that anybody usually asks of us, usually. And so whatever it may be, you know, maybe this, you're playing a sport or something, and the coach asks you to do something, and you're like, I don't know if I can do that or not. You got to say, yes, I can. I can do it because God is with me. Because we don't want to go the opposite direction, which leads to discouragement. We get down on ourselves and down on other things, you know. But we got to keep encouraging ourselves and remind ourselves that God is with us, God's power is in us, and we can face whatever we're going through, whatever it is. Okay? All right. Bob said you can go downstairs, but no, you can't. So you can go back to your seats. I think there are, if you need them, there are some coloring books I keep in the back and sheets there that if your parents or grandparents don't care, you're welcome to grab any of those for the rest of the service. So, we're going to go ahead and go to our time of prayer. And I already have quite a few things written down. So as we go to that time, I want to, what do I do with those? I must not have any more. I'll have to make some more copies of what you want to pray about. Maybe a joy or concern you'd like to share. And we will do that. Yes.
I have two unspoken.
Okay. Want to remember those two? Yep.
I have two concerns. My neighbor, Fonda Sopsing, passed away, and my Aunt Kate Durst.
Okay, so the Durst family, with the loss of that love, and who was the first one?
Sopsing.
Thompson?
Sopsing.
Oh, Sopsing. Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yes, I knew she had passed. Yeah. Somebody else.
Mom received her healing past Wednesday morning.
Yes, and the service is going to be at Vernon and Fletcher on not tomorrow, but the following Monday. The viewing is 10 to 12. The service is at 12. And there's only going to be a private for the immediate family at the cemetery. And then there'll be a luncheon. And I'm sure Rhea's already, or whoever else was involved with that, has already been hitting up people about food for the funeral. So we appreciate your help. I want to let you know also, while we're on that topic, Mary Sue is close to death, Shout. And I've been out several times this week. And somebody had told me, Mary Lou told me that there was a whole bunch of cars up at the house when she came through. So, yes. And I knew it was going to be closed. So that's a possibility that could be happening later this week. So depending on if she passes today. So I just wanted to update you on that too. So we want to remember the Hart Yinks family and the Shout family. And so those are a couple ones you'll think about. Somebody else. Yes.
Unspoken.
Okay. Unspoken. Someone else this morning. Wow. We're all over the place here. Go ahead.
Unspoken.
Okay. And right. Go ahead.
Connie's friend Linda passed away.
Who?
Connie's friend Linda passed away.
Oh, she did. So that's the Abrams family, I think. Yes.
And then they're supposed to go to Kentucky tomorrow for the funeral.
Yes, she checked or sent a message to me, I think Thursday late night, and said, we're really sick. We won't be there Sunday. Yes, and I have those two on our prayer needs there. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. I saw a couple other hands. I know. Yep. Okay, so traveling, yes, and we do have several instances of people that are going to be traveling, and we're glad that Brad and Carla got back safe. That driving through West Virginia just before we got our freezing rain and snow the other, this week, they got in, okay. And as you can see, she said they were stressing out. And I can understand. I don't like driving in when there's... Brad said it was mainly rain, but it was coming down so hard coming through that area. Yeah, so... And then there's somebody else that was mentioned about traveling that we won't remember because I already have that written down. Somebody else, yeah. I understand, yes. Sometimes you can't thank people enough for everything they do during those difficult times that we go through, especially with loss, and it's never easy. So thank you. And Esther, she's on our monthly list. We're still praying for her for recovery. And yeah, so... Yeah, there you go. I believe that. Yes. He told me that already, but yes, that was a good one. Yes. Somebody else. Yes.
Good news is that my sister's chemotherapy treatments did what they needed to do. They shrunk the two spots. She will have surgery March 7th. One of the spots is kind of in a precarious position, and she's really struggling mentally this time. Physically, I think she feels fine, but there's just been a lot happening, and I think that's compounded.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. I kind of alluded to that a couple weeks ago, and I may be talking about that a little bit today. But it's a strange thing that sometimes when we face something, there's times when we're like gung-ho and ready to face it. And then sometimes again or whatever, it's a whole different thing. And we struggle more mentally, you know, and that discouragement comes in. And yeah, so and some of you that have went through treatments, you understand what I'm talking about and know how difficult that can be. So I definitely want to continue praying for Jill for this surgery, that they're able to get everything out. They're going to put a stent in her one kidney, not the kidney, but the line. What is it? Urethra or whatever it is. I don't want to get into all detail, but they're going to have to stent it during the surgery time. And then once the surgery's done, they're going to pull that out. And we're just praying that it all goes well and so forth. And so definitely appreciate your prayers. Somebody else. Yes.
My girl Scout leader, Brenda Sloan, she had a heart attack 2 weeks ago. And they were supposed to do a 5 bypass on her. But they couldn't because she got influenza A.
Ooh. Okay. Help me with the first name again.
Brenda.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. So we want to keep Brenda in our prayers. Hopefully she'll get over that quickly and then they'll be able to get that taken care of. Cause that's always, when you're talking 5 byes, that's pretty serious.
She's only 53.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yep. So definitely want to keep Brenda in our prayers this morning. Definitely needs that. Yes. Okay. Somebody else. Yep. Yeah, that was what was brought up earlier. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that. I saw a couple other hands. Where'd they go? I thought I did. Somebody else? I must have been dreaming or seeing things. I don't know which it is. No others this morning. Okay, a couple others. It's good to see Lisa here, but we want to keep Lisa in our prayers. She had, I'll just say, some kind of a spell, and I don't know what that all entails, but they're still trying to figure everything out. And I know we definitely want to keep Lisa in our prayers. Brooklyn, I had her from 2 weeks ago on here because she had surgery this past week. Everything went real well. They took a skin graft off of her hip and put it down in. If you remember back when she had the surgery, first surgeries, because of the blood clots that went all the way down her legs, they cut that open and to relieve the pressure. Well, they skin grafted that and she's doing real well. But just continue to pray for recovery. I'm sure that that's got to be painful. And when you're talking about taking skin off from one place and putting it in another area. So I appreciate your prayers for her. Ellie, I have not heard, and I asked a couple people. They were going to try to do a procedure on her good leg to relieve some issues she was having. I think it was quad issues again, but I have not heard any more. Has anybody else heard anything? Okay. Well, let's continue lifting up Ellie. I know she's been on our monthly. And then, although this is kind of late and he may be doing much better, but Bill Cornett is a pastor over on the Miami-Dark County line. It's where Jody's sister and husband go to church. He had one of those influenzas so bad they had to take him to the emergency room. He had to get fluids and everything else. It was quite serious there for a while. I haven't heard any more because I was supposed to present it last week. But I'm hoping he's doing. But let's lift up Bill for recovery there. Let's see. Well, Donnie and Connie, we want to remember them. There's been some influenzas and flus and stuff going around that have just been really bad. Yes. And so we might want to just, if you know some friends or people you know, you might want to lift up some of them. I know it's going through the school. It's going through teachers. So, yes, I've done a lot of subbing in the last 2 weeks because of all that. So anybody else then this morning? All right. Well, as she plays, I just invite you there quietly in your seats to pray, lift up some names of some that were mentioned today, comes to your mind, lift those up to the Lord there, and then I will close out in prayer then. We are thankful that we can turn our eyes to you and look to you no matter what we're facing in life. Thank you for this time that we can stand in the gap and we can agree together in prayer as touching these people and the needs that have been mentioned today. And Lord, we just especially pray for so many that are facing just difficulties, illness, loss, just recovery. I mean, so much today. Lord, we just lift up the various ones. We think about Connie and Donnie this morning that are facing illness, the flu, influenza, whatever it is, and so many others that we know of that have been through that, are facing it right now. Lord, we just ask for your healing touch and strength and quick recoveries and through all of that. We lift up Jill, who's having surgery coming up. We pray that you'll just guide the hand of the urologist and the surgeons as they operate there, the oncologist surgeon, God, that guide through there. We pray for Brooke and Bill, that for recovery, Lord. We lift up Lisa, Lord. Don't know everything that's going on there, but we just ask for your healing touch, your grace. Continue to give the doctors wisdom if they need further testing or whatever needs to be done there. We pray for Ellie, Lord. We continue to lift up that her, your healing touch, especially with that one leg of hers that she's just been having trouble with here recently, God. Lord, we lift up a Brenda, Lord, who's battling influenza, but also needs heart surgery. Lord, we just ask for a quick recovery that she can build her strength back up and be able to go through the bypass surgery. And we ask that you would guide and direct and be with her through all of that and the surgeons. Lord, we lift up those traveling, Lord, that the ones that were specifically mentioned, and then others, Lord, that I can't remember all, but you know who they are and what's going on there. We just ask that you would give mercies, traveling mercies, and bring them all in or out or however that's going on. Lord, we just lift up with the different families that have lost loved ones, the Hart Yinks, the Shout family this morning, with the soon passing of Mary, God, the Sotzing family, the Durst family, the Abrams family, God, all of these, we just pray for your comfort, your grace, and your peace today. Touch each one, Lord. We lift up these five unspoken mentioned needs there, Lord. You know what they are. We ask that you would touch and minister there as only you can do, and meet the needs there, God. Lord, if there's others that were spoken to you, Lord, during the quiet time, Lord, we just ask that you would just help to meet those needs too as we agree with them. If they mention them and anyone else, Lord, that has come bearing a burden today, Lord, we just give those to you and trust you, and that our Heavenly Father loves us and cares about us so much. And we're grateful and thankful, Jesus, that you taught us that and how we can turn those things over to him. And we just pray that you'll continue to minister. We ask your blessing on the rest of our time together as we break the bread of your word and we talk about the ways that we can deal with discouragement in our lives, God. Help us in those ways and minister to us as only you can do. And we're so thankful for all of these things now as we lift it all up in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers. Thy peace. Amen.
Thank you for praying with us. We believe in the power of prayer, and we believe it makes a difference in people's lives, and that's why we take that time out of our service every Sunday. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving, and we just want to thank you so much for your faithfulness, and it continues to meet the needs of this local congregation as we reach out into our community and around the world. So as our ushers come today, God bless you as you give. join together there for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin. We thank you, O Lord, for your steady blessings. Let the gifts we bring bear witness to your goodness and unfailing love. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. As we continue on in our series today, dealing with these relational challenges that we face in life. Oop. Okay, what's going on here? Okay. Oh, there we go. Whew. It froze up on me for a second. So we are going to continue looking in Nehemiah. We're going to continue with chapter 4, but now we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 20 this morning as we move along into the second part of dealing with discouragement. So I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed area. I stationed the people to stand guard by families, armed with swords, spears, and bows. Then I looked over the situation. I called together the nobles and the rest of the people, and I said to them, "Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." When our enemies heard that we knew of their plans and that God had frustrated them, we all returned to our work on the wall. But from then on, only half my men worked, while the other half stood guard with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. The laborers carried on their work with one hand supporting their load and the other hand holding a weapon. All of the builders had a sword belted to their side. The trumpeters stayed with me to sound the alarm. Then I explained to the nobles and officials and all the people, "The work is very spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. When you hear the blast of the trumpet, rush to where it is sounding. Then our God will fight for us." That is God's word for us this morning, and I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word this morning, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, you remember a couple weeks ago I shared a Super Bowl joke. I have a few more, and I thought, well, I might share some quick ones. Now, this might be what you would call a Jim Pence corny joke, but I'll share a couple of them here. I got several of them. What kind of sweet treats are Super Bowl footballers served? They're served Super Bowl Sundays. Field goal kickers always bring strings to the Super Bowl. Why is that? Because if they need to, they can tie the score. One more. What kind of tea do Super Bowl football players drink? A penalty. That was the real corny one. There you go. You got several this morning. Well, as we continue our series, now there's a few that's maybe missed a while. So what we've done is through this series is from Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a leader grew up in Judah, in the southern kingdom, and Jerusalem got carried away when the Babylonians conquered the south, which is Judah, and took all the key leaders to Babylon and so forth. And then the Persians came along and conquered the Babylonians. And out of that came this leader who was high up, the cupbearer, the butler, And butlers were more than just... If anybody's ever seen Downton Abbey, the TV show on PBS, the Carson, the butler, gave a whole lot more advice to Lord Grantham than just about food and wine. So the same was true with Nehemiah. He was the butler, the key person, advisor to the king of Persia. And he, his heart began to grow, I don't even know what word I want to use exactly, sad and disheartened, because he got word back in Jerusalem that they're trying to rebuild the walls, but they just, it's just not working, and things are trying to rebuild everything after the destruction by the Babylonians. And so he talks to his boss, the Persian king, and he goes back and they begin to deal with rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And they face one problem after another along the way. And that's a real quick summary. You can go online onto the church website, lostcreekucc.com, and you can listen to that series to catch up on. But the challenges that we talked about last week, we talked about the signs, we talked about discouragement and the signs of it, and now today we're going to be talking about what we can do to battle discouragement. So rebuilding the wall was certainly a lot harder than what they imagined. Isn't that true in life sometimes? We take on challenges, and when we get into the middle of it, which is where they're at now in this thing, about halfway up building the wall, they find out, oh my gosh, this is a whole lot harder and more difficult than what we thought it was going to ever do. And as we talked about 2 weeks ago, discouragement was winning the day. Yet Nehemiah didn't ignore it. Because ignoring discouragement is like ignoring a flat tire. Do I need to say any more? No, I don't. You understand what I'm saying. You'll never get air back into it until you fix it. And Nehemiah rolled up his sleeves and he tackled the discouragement. And so what I want to talk about is three actions that he leading the way, took to deal with that discouragement amongst them and maybe try to apply that to our lives today. First thing I want you to see when we're facing discouragement is how important it is to unite together. Unite together. Here's what I want you to remember. We don't battle discouragement alone. And let me just say something about that. We've all been there. We've probably all done it. It is so easy for us to stay at home, to hide, as I was talking to the kids, stay under the covers, and try to face discouragement on our own. That is the worst thing you can do. You know what I found when I am discouraged? One of the best things that helps me is to get out there with other people and go do something, whatever you want to say. You know, and it's so important. And I want you to see how they unified. First of all, they unified around families. Nehemiah said, hey, you guys are you're spread out everywhere. We got family members, some way down on the other end of the wall and some way down. We're all going to come and we're going to unite around each other by families and continue to work according to families. And Nehemiah united them. Let me say it that way. And it's almost, I can just imagine, hey, you folks, you guys, you get stationed over here. And you, you know, over here, Davidson's over here, Egbert's over here, you know, whatever you want to say. I can just keep on going there. So they unified according to family units, which helped them to stay together and encourage one another. They also unified around a common goal. Nehemiah gave each family a common goal. Guess what it was? Preservation. Preservation. That was their common goal. The preservation of their families and their homes. Remember he said, fight for one another. This is about your families. It's just not about Jerusalem and the walls, but it's about each one of your families too. And you know how that is. I mean, we'll do anything for our families, won't we? And by calling them together in a show of strength, he was able to restore their morale and motivate them with concern for their families. And what ended up happening is he ended up encouraging the disheartened. And that's so important. Here's an interesting thing. They united around rest. Now, I know it's the last one here, but it's really the first thing Nehemiah told them to do. When all of a sudden he started seeing what was happening, you know what he said? They blew the trumpet or whatever they did. You know, he got the word out. And he said, stop. Everybody stop building. Everybody stop what you're doing. And listen to what I'm going to tell you to do. And they rested for a while. And then he gave instructions on how to deal. You know, sometimes when we see people worn out, tired, despair, discouraged, we need to tell them it's okay to stop for a while. Even in the church setting, it's okay to take a break for a few months or whatever it may be. We need that from time to time, because sometimes the best thing we can do when discouraged is take some time off. There's an old Greek motto that says, you'll break the bow if you always keep it bent. How tight is your bow this morning? When was the last time you loosened the bow and got away for a few days? That will help in the battle against discouragement. Unite together. Second thing is direct our attention to God. I don't think it was by mistake that Carla played Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, because that is so important, so important. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious. That's what Nehemiah said to them. Now, you might be saying, okay, Jason, how do we do that? Well, here's what I want you to see. First of all, and Nehemiah has them do this by recalling things about God. First of all, by recalling God's peace. You know, when we're discouraged, and remember, peace is the Hebrew word shalom. That means more than just stop fighting, but it means wholeness. It means harmony. It means all of these things, well-being. God wants all of those things for us. Listen to something I'm going to read you. God's perfect peace is available for every situation as we put our trust in God. Listen to these words from Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. That's what I was really talking with the kids this morning, is we got to remind ourselves about how great God is, that God is with us, whatever we're facing, whatever we're going through. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. That's what we're talking about this morning. This is my Father's world. You know, we were reminding ourselves, and that's what these hymns and the choruses and stuff. Or how about these words from Paul? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. By recalling God's peace. Second, by recalling God's greatness, which I've already alluded to. Remember the Lord is great and glorious. Hey, Judah, get your eyes off of the rubble. Remember 2 weeks ago, I spent time at the beginning of the sermon talking about the rubble, that all they could see was the rubble of everything crumbling that had crumbled around them. Get your eyes off the rubble. Get your eyes off your problems and focus on how great God is and how awesome God is. One of the main reasons we get discouraged is because we only see our problems. And Nehemiah's workers were no different, and neither are you and I. When was the last time you reflected upon God's greatness and goodness? Was it while you were looking up at the stars? Or perhaps taking a drive? Maybe during a worship service? Or while we were taking communion? Why is that so important? Because such times help clear away the fog of despair, enables us to renew our grip on life. So important, so important. Directing our attention to God. Third thing is, don't forget your armor. Don't forget your armor. God has given us a special covering so we can stand strong in life's battles. Now, I'm going to draw this in a couple ways here, but you saw the when we were reading through there several times, it talks about how they had their armor on, they had a spear, they had a sword, you know, and some stood guard while others worked, and then they switched positions and so forth and so on. Well, that may not be how we deal with life, but Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 that we have armor that God has given us through the power of the Spirit that's in our lives. Here's what he says, Paul does. Stand strong. Stand strong. Look at your neighbor and tell them, stand strong. Ready? Stand strong. That's right. Now, he doesn't stop there. He says, here's how you stand strong. With the belt of truth around your waist. Okay, I'm going to be a little superhero here. Righteousness as our breastplate, our main armor, keeps our vital organs safe. We have shoes. We have shoes that help us spread the good news of peace. The peace that we just talked about, that is ours to hold on to in tough times. We have a shield of faith that we can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one that come our way. We have a helmet that reminds us that we are God's, saved and rescued, that protects our minds. And we have a sword, but it's not a literal sword. We don't go out chopping up people, but it is a sword that is God's word that is to help us remember what God says about us, who God is, and whose we are. That's all found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. And so what do we do then with all that armor that God has given us? Let us stand together in life's battles. Thank God we're a part of his church, so we can stand together, supporting one another, encouraging one another. We're not in this alone. We don't fight our battles alone. You know, I'm going to mention this, and I thought about this driving in this morning. There was a person in our church. I miss her dearly. Her name was Bev. And you know what? There would be times Bev would just call me and she'd say, Jason, I got to talk to you. I've been so discouraged this week. We've been facing this. We've been facing that. And I would just encourage her and pray with her. And I'm sure some of you did the same thing. And I'm sure every week, many of you in this place, you'll call up one of your friends or church member or somebody else. Or if you're a teenager that's here this morning, you might text your friends or whatever it may be and encourage one another, because you need to know you're not alone in the battles of life. Stand strong. Don't let discouragement get the best of us. Do any of you know how we got our English Bibles? It's largely because of one person, John Wycliffe. He was known not only as a builder, but he was also the producer of the very first English text of the Bible. And when he did that, listen, when he did that, there was a whole bunch of people that got angry at him. And they burned him at the stake. And they took his ashes of his body and spread them over the Thames River in London. And here's what they said when they did this. Forever we're rid of Wycliffe. Well, they thought they were right. But we know today they were wrong. Because the product of his labors, the first English Bible, is with us today. Because he did more than fight. He stayed on task and finished it before they killed him. Now, I know that's kind of a strange story, but I like that part at the end. He stayed on task. What have I been saying through this whole series is all of the things that discouraged and those relational challenges that they faced in life and we face in life is to discourage us and stop us from our task in life. And God has given us each a task in life. Discouragement can be tough to handle, but it's certainly not impossible. We unite together, we look to the Lord, and don't forget about that armor that we need to remind ourselves of every day that we have. Next week, we are going to look at the challenges of money that we face in life and what they did. Amen. Amen. Well, take a couple minutes there and you can greet one another, shake a few hands. And if you don't want to shake hands, that's fine. You can do some fist bumps and then we'll close out with our chorus. This morning, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love and the impulse of Thy. Always only for my King. join together for our benediction this morning as we close. Go wherever and however God leads. May the blessing of the Lord our God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen. Amen.